Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 001 of the Smart Social Podcast. I'm Josh Oakes. I'm so excited you're here. This is the first episode. The question is, how do you keep your kids safe and smart online while helping them have fun and someday build a positive online identity that can help them in the future? That's the question, and this podcast is the answer. We interview experts each week that help you be the best parent and/or educator you can become to protect your kids and students online. My name is Josh Oakes, and I travel the country each year teaching students and professionals how to shine online. You can learn more at smartsocial.com. Enjoy the show. So here's what I have for you here today. We've got a lot in store for you at smartsocial.com. You know that I'm the author of a book called Light, Bright, and Polite. Actually, three books called Light, Bright, and Polite. I teach the world how to shine online. My goal for you here today is how social media can hurt your kids' future. Now, you may not have kids, but I think this will be somewhat helpful for you because I think it's helpful for everybody to know how you can get caught doing bad stuff. So I want to skim through and chapter one of one of my books, my parenting book. It's the green one for parents and teens. This did pretty well on Amazon. I want to walk you through kind of how to use social media to impress colleges and future employers, which is the name of the book. But I want to kind of read to you a few of the things. So almost every student has heard a horror story. At the start of the school year, a basis college counselor told her class of students whose acceptance to an elite college was revoked when he was caught bad-mouthing a school on Facebook. So somebody got accepted, they bad-mouthed on Facebook, and they said, "We don't want you." At Williams College, a student's admission was rescinded because he posted disparaging remarks on a college discussion board. At the University of Georgia, when an admissions officer discovered an applicant's racially charged Twitter account, he took a screenshot and added the tweets to the student's application file. If you think your kids don't have many followers, or hey, by the way, side note, you're like, dude, my kids are in tweens. My kids are middle school. My kids are elementary. Just hang out with me here. Let's talk about this for a sec. If you do have teens or know somebody that has teens, this is a start, but we're going to talk in a few minutes about younger kids or in the next episode. Okay. So if you think your kids don't have many followers, and by the way, they can be online without you knowing, and they'll never get found, consider learning more about Justine Sacco's careless tweet when boarding a 14-hour plane ride. She went from having less than 200 followers to being the number one trending hashtag on Twitter before her plane ever landed, which means that millions of people saw it. Whether you believe she was careless or being unfairly picked upon, one thing can't be denied. Social media allows thousands of people to create a flash mob of comments that can ruin an online image in a very short amount of time. Now, have you ever applied for a job, perhaps a scholarship opportunity that you really wanted, thinking you were a shoo-in, but then you never heard back and you wondered why? I know this has happened to me. Not for this reason, but for other reasons. Well, when you're so great, why wouldn't you get a call back? Well, when your presentation was so good, you were so great, and you were so qualified, why the heck didn't that happen? Well, maybe your karma was on hiatus. Maybe someone even more qualified knocked it out of the park, or maybe it was a case of getting socked. S-O-K, this is my nerdy way of saying the silent opportunity killer. Although social media can be used for good, you should and should be used, it isn't very forgiving. Posts you've forgotten about and assumed were hidden because of new content replaced it can be easily found. So I have something called silent opportunity killer, socked, and that's essentially when somebody Googles you and they don't call you back, but you're like, well, why haven't they called me back? Well, basically they found something. They're not going to call you and say, hey, we found something bad online, we're going to tell you about it. No, they just basically just don't call you back, and it killed the opportunity quietly, and it just kills you on the inside. All right, so with so many social media sites like Tumblr, which I dislike, Snapchat, which I'm okay with, Yik Yak, which by the way is gone, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Vine, Medium, tweens and teens create and send a lot of social media posts. This means that a lot of opportunity is out there for them to mess up. Are they always on guard? Are they always keeping it light, bright, and polite? If they're using Snapchat, probably not, since they're lulled into a sense of safety by its built-in content expiration feature. You know, I've talked about this in a lot of my videos. However, people can, in 1 second, we all know this, take a screenshot of a Snapchat photo before it expires and post it somewhere else to exist forever. You're only as good as your last 10 tweets and your first page of your Google results, I like to say. Those first posts or tweets popping up on your kids' profiles are what will leave the most lasting impression. Each tweet, with the right circumstances, has the possibility of getting them fired or removed from the college application process or booted out even after formal acceptance. And this, we've all heard about the 10 kids that got kicked out of Harvard because of, yeah. It's important too for your kid to keep being light, bright, and polite well after their first semester. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm in my 30s and I make sure that I'm light, bright, and polite. We all know that. It's very important. Now, they've still got internships, study abroad, and jobs to compete for. Super important. Now, let me make my case. You may be thinking, I'm not too worried. My kid doesn't post nude photos or party photos or curse people out or say blatantly racist things online. But what you need to know is that it's not enough to also avoid posts that are well known to be controversial, even if they avoid ambiguous jokes that could be construed as racist or abusive. Other dangers are especially hard to avoid for young people growing up with social media. Their identities are unstable, still being formed. Information they don't mind people knowing about them at age 14 can change a lot by age 18. Their options change, their goals change as they are exposed to new experiences. As their brains develop in their 20s, they close in on having better control over their impulses. And that's why now is the time to start dialoguing with them about this stuff, right? They may simply be posting content that distracts from their goal of by failing to align with the overall impression they want to leave upon admissions advisors. Even at a young, young age, you can change your Google results. So here's what they might say. This student has a slightly lower GPA than her peers, but I looked at her Instagram profile and she has 25 selfies, a lot of comments from her friends. I bet she's really fun and a great person. Out of the hundreds of other candidates, let's give her one of the few second round interviews and trust that she's a better candidate than someone with a more professional online image. Says no admissions professional ever, right? I mean, they're not going to go, oh, she's got a lot. She's very, very into herself, but let's give her a shot. No, they've got thousands of resumes. Your kid could have the highest grades in their class, but if someone finds their photos from pie-eating contests, backyard barbecues, and harmless tailgating at sporting events, these won't contribute to the image that they're trying to create of someone who's studious, accomplished, charitable, and who takes good care of themselves. Now, I got to be honest. I wrote this book 2 years ago, and I do think that your students should be vibrant online. So I'm almost arguing with myself. You shouldn't just be focused on one thing. You should be vibrant, fun, but it also should be a little bit focused. We all know that. Now, next, let's say that your kid does a great job with their social media framed identity and they get accepted into college. Their job isn't over. They must remain vigilant at monitoring their image, putting their best foot forward, and having fun. Now, the New York Times interviewed Colgate's Dean of Admissions, Gary L. Ross, on the college acceptance process. Apparently, Colgate had offered a student acceptance until they saw him connected to an alcohol-related incident online. The student was contacted and verified that the details of the incident and his admission was rescinded. Yeah, and so this goes to show you that online is a public domain to which everyone has access. Now, remember, there are kids who are trying to get into the same prestigious elite colleges that your child is targeting. They also have worked hard in high school, taken advanced classes, participated in community service and extracurricular activities. They may even have a 4.0 GPA or higher, just like your child. And the other student's big advantage may be that they were aware of their online image and that they were proactive to maintain a clean online presence. That doesn't mean you can't make fun of yourself and have fun. It just means you need to be aware that they're going to take a peek at what you're doing. All right, next. Here's an analogy. Your kids are paving a yellow brick road that's easy to follow. We all know that The Wizard of Oz, by the way, 1939 when it was made, is one of my favorite. My dad and I have a car from 1939 that we rebuilt when I was in high school. That's pretty cool. I like those photos on my social. Dorothy told us in the movie that if she stays on the yellow brick road, she'll find out more about the wizard that she's looking for. Your kid's social media presence is much like that yellow brick road. Colleges are like Dorothy and your kid is the wizard, right? And each one of your kids' posts is like one of the bricks. Together, they form a windy road that colleges will follow to discover more about who your kid really is. Imagine if some of the bricks were gray, jagged rock instead of blocks of gold. The design flaw of the gray rocks would be so noticeable that they would stand out in memory, and perhaps Dorothy would leave the road for another yellow brick road nearby with flawless paving. We want to keep Dorothy, or these colleges, on the same path, brick by yellow brick, until they settle upon an idea of who the wizard, the athlete, the volunteer, the artist, or the deserving applicant really is your kid. Now let's talk about planning ahead real quick. If your kids are young, it might be a good time to start working on a 10-year plan with them, dialoguing especially. And this is really the number one key safety app. You've heard from me before. By the way, I'm so pumped that we're on our first episode. This is, I couldn't be more excited. If your kids are young, it's a great time to start working on a 10-year plan. It all starts with a dialogue. Doesn't have to be anything concrete right now, but the foundation should be laid out and come into sharper focus as they get older. Ask them what clubs they want to participate in during middle school. What sports do they want to play? For some school systems, students are introduced to competitive sports in the eighth grade, if not sooner. If they want to go to a private high school, public high school, they need to be building a portfolio of accomplishments early on and really thinking through that. Not, don't stress them out, but what do you want to do? In the coming years, resumes are going to get and become important. In the coming years, resumes are a thing of the past. It's really the new online image for your student is going to be owned by Google and any other search engine that wants to keep a copy of your kids' data. The first place colleges and employers are going to visit when researching your kids will be Google, YouTube, Google Images, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and any other networks making their information public. Okay, side note. This is a little thing from our sponsors. You know, we don't really have a sponsor here today. The sponsor is, I run a program called Parent University, where I teach you how these apps work. I show you day in and day out with video, with more audio. I give you insider information in Parent University. And if you go right now to smartsocial.com and you click on the Parent University thing and you join today, I'm going to teach you exactly how all these apps work. I'm going to show you step by step in our private Facebook group for, I think it's $9 a month at the time of this viewing or the time of this recording. And it might be more here soon. It might be less. I don't know. But the point is, thousands of parents trust what we're doing and telling them to shine online because they know we're not teaching their kid to be fake. We're teaching their kids to make sure that they shine online in a good way. And I want to do the same for you. I want to show you the hidden parts of apps that people don't know about. Now, if you're a professional going, why am I listening to all about this, kids? I got to tell you, I can show you the way to make sure your Google results are awesome. Bear with me. Parents and educators are my first priority because protecting kids is what I am here on this earth to do. But what I also want to do is make sure that you understand that Parent University is the start. Oh, I already understand them. I got to tell you, there's so many stories of parents that, oh, my daughter just didn't make it, or we had to go to, this happened, and I'll have more in future episodes. I'll have specific stories. Actually, I'm going to tell them to you in a minute. Okay, how posted content can haunt forever. Have you ever used a whiteboard only to realize that you accidentally grabbed a permanent marker instead of a dry erase marker? It would have been so simple and easy to double check, but it's also easy to not think to check. Posting online can be just like that. A permanent message on a whiteboard is embarrassing to leave in the office for everyone to see, but it can be cleaned up, pro tip, by writing over the top with a dry erase marker. You can sometimes wipe it away. Social media can be forever, however, just like that permanent marker, that Sharpie. Now, maybe you're thinking, but the internet's so big, how do they find so much on you? What if you delete stuff only if it were so simple? Another side note, I had two college students contact me and they said, we're afraid to tell our parents something, but you spoke at our school. We were in a YouTube video and we didn't want him to post it, but he posted it. And now we have full ride scholarships and we could get them revoked in our sororities and all this stuff. And this thing's happening live as we talk right now. I got connected with them, a lawyer, and it's just really bad stuff. And they never should have answered when somebody was standing out in the middle of the street going, hey, we're interviewing people about sex. They never should have answered. They're 19. You should not go on a microphone. You do not know where that stuff is going, right? So I went, all right, ladies, we got to figure this out. So I'm in the middle of that right now, helping people. It's going to be a great case study, and I think they're going to be okay. I truly hope. They're good girls. They made a mistake, and that's unfortunately what kids do. Now, first, it's important to understand how search works on Google. Let's talk about that for a sec. Sure, if someone just searches your name, particularly if you have a common name like Smith, a common last name, there might not be much to be found. But let's say your kid is David Smith, living in New York City, and he goes to Super Duper High School where he plays basketball. He likes a certain type of artist. The admissions advisor could search a combo of that information and find a Tumblr account, a blog, or a profile of a fan of on the message board. On the message board, he could use the handle SuperDuper567. The admissions advisor now tries searching for SuperDuper567, knowing that people tend to reuse the same handle in other places online. The advisor finds David's YouTube account. He's left some mean comments on some videos, and uh-oh, that's out now. David can also be found by searching his email address. A friend of mine was excited to be going on a date with an up-and-coming young poet and had recently won a major national poetry award. She Googled him, searching his email address, and found a LiveJournal blog he started at age 19, and he was now in his 30s. And he was very embarrassed to have it still visible publicly, so easily findable. Now, that's a harmless example, right? But it happens all the time where people just don't know. That's not all. You also need to know about ways that content's made permanent. There's something called the Wayback Machine, which is at archive.org, and it keeps a copy of every website it possibly can by taking a snapshot of it. If your kid has ever had a blog, or type in the blog address into the search bar on the Wayback or archive.org, and it'll show you how many captures there are. It tries to capture it once a month, the HTML. It doesn't capture all the images, but it captures the lightweight version, the HTML. Click on the link, and you can see calendars of each month and some dates in blue circles and whatever. And you can click on those dates and see a snapshot of the blog. So essentially, it's capturing everything it can. I've got old versions of our blogs. I only put stuff I'm proud of, but I'm still kind of embarrassed of the design because the branding sucked. But who cares? I'm proud of how useful it was. All right, Google has a catch too. Google also takes a snapshot of every web page and keeps it available in a cache. We all know this. When you search for anything on Google, you'll often see a little down-pointing arrow or something else next to it that says, click on the view the cached version, because if the website's down, it still wants you to go to the good stuff. Next, we all know about screenshots. The internet is the wild, wild west. Post something on social media that someone thinks is controversial or incriminating, and within seconds, somebody may have taken a screenshot, which is like a photo. Now, I've got a phrase that I came up with in a speech the other day. I was speaking to my church, and the phrase was, the juiciest of secrets end up on the biggest of billboards. The juiciest of secrets end up on the big, or the juiciest of Snapchat posts end up on the biggest of billboards. So if it's boring, if it's you going, hey, everybody, good morning, it's not going to end up on a billboard. But if you're posting something scandalous or nude or whatever, it goes on the biggest billboard, right? Immediately. It's like, whoa, that's like Netflix, HBO, and everything else combined. All right. Okay, screenshots. Bloggers. Anything posted online that offends a certain community is sure to be blogged about right away. Bloggers are rewarded by having fresh content that's controversial. I know this because I owned a blog network for some time. Media Leaders, my parent company, or the company that I started. We bought a little tiny blog network. 4,000 mom bloggers that blog about stuff. If you upset a blogger, they're like, whoa, hey. And they will go to great lengths to make sure that you know that you did something wrong. I haven't done this, but we try and appeal to them. But I know they can get upset. We all as humans can. Social media posts are like digital tattoos. I wish they were more temporary. Getting a face tattoo might be a good decision for the lead singer of a punk band, creating visibility and credibility in punk communities, leading to great success as a punk artist. But if that person wants to be an elementary school teacher, a court judge, and nurse later in life, that face tattoo could be a major life handicap, basically saying, I don't fit in with this community, you won't relate to me. Now, I'm not against tattoos, I'm just saying that kind of makes the example of your Google results is your Google resume is your face, okay? We are all branding ourselves all the time with how we dress, how we talk, how we look, which isn't to say that we can't judge everybody about something based on how they look, or we don't want to judge people on how they look, but how we brand ourselves is like a shorthand communication to send signals to other people in communities we want to be a part of that we have shared interests and goals. How you brand yourself on the internet can affect the rest of your life. Your digital tattoos are seen by colleges, employers from their point of view without the backstory or rationale. And this is really, really important because these digital, when I show students in my speeches at smartsocial.com when I travel the country, I show them, hey, your images can be taken out of context. Look, it's creepy that I had this image up there, a baby dressed as Harry Potter. Why is that? They all laugh at it. And I go, but what if it was something bad? Like, it's funny, but what if it was something really bad? It's taken out of context. You don't know the backstory. Okay, next. Right now, your child might be 13, 14, even younger. If you want a head start, which is great since it's never too early to start talking to them about their online image. I mean, they could be 5, 6, 7. Their biggest goals are probably getting on a sports team, a school club, maybe that in the near future, getting into college. But what about after that? So I love talking to them about college. That's always a good start. And by the way, side note, it is a great time to be touring colleges when you're young, and get your kids out of the house. Get them away from their friends that are only on Snapchat. Get them elsewhere. Start talking to them about colleges and what their next 10 years look like, and get them pumped up. Remember, I've got a 3-step plan for your kid, and I don't think you've ever seen this before. This is episode 001, so you're not going to see this. You wouldn't have seen this. First of all, audit your kid online. We're going to talk about in future episodes how to Google your kid. 2, dialogue with them about their future. Have them set goals. Mom, Dad, I don't know where I want to go to school. Okay, well, we're going to go to Google and we're going to search for schools. What do you want to do when you grow up? Firefighter, astronaut, engineer, chef. What do you want to do? Let them set it. And then all of a sudden, then you can learn. So step 1 is audit. 2 is dialogue. 3 is create content that changes the Google results that you saw when you audited them, because other people are creating results. Then you're creating content together about how to be the best chef or the astronaut or how to have fun on the weekends and stuff like that. Okay, I've got to end this here in a moment. We're wrapping up episode number 1. Oh, guys, I'm so pumped about this. This is great. Okay, so your social media reputation doesn't start when your kids get online. It starts when your kids' friends get online. Parents are saying, my son Billy, 12 years old, is 12, and we don't let him have a phone, so he has no online footprint. His reputation's totally clean. Actually, Billy's mom, you got to go audit Billy. That's step 1. And I came up with this after this book, audit and then dialogue with Billy and then create content with Billy. So actually, if Billy's friends are uploading and posting photos of him at events, and you know all of Billy's friends have phones, and trying to tag him in them, then even when the photos aren't most flattering, his reputation is already started online. Between friends, this is hilarious, but putting things online takes it out of the realm of friendship and lets anyone see it and form an opinion about it. And your kids are kids. Let them be kids. But boy, they can be. I was a bozo. Tell your child that they need to be careful with what they put online and what they let other people put online. All right, guys, you can visit smartsocial.com. And I really hope that you'll sign up for Parent University. Take the next step. Let us teach you how to audit your kids. Let's do this. You know, in our next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about some common social media mistakes that people make. I hope that you're a Parent University fan. I hope that you like this. You can go to smartsocial.com to learn more. Go smartsocial.com/newsletter to sign up. And here's some key takeaways. Remember this. Even people with few followers can find their poorly planned tweets being shared and discussed widely on social media and then news organizations. You're only as good as your most 10 recent posts. The silent opportunity killer can be responsible for lost opportunities without ever you being aware of it, not getting that call back. Even distracting content can be an SOK, a silent opportunity killer. It might seem weird, but if it doesn't further your goals, it might distract from your goals. And the Internet Archive, Google Cache, screenshots, everything else is really outside of your control, and bloggers. And they're the top reason why content doesn't usually disappear. You're branding yourself all the time. Whether you like it or realize it, make sure that your branding, that the branding you choose reflects who you are and striving to be, and leave it open for the future. And then your kid's social media reputation starts when their friends get online. Okay, my 3-step plan for you is to 1, audit your kids online. 2, dialogue with them about their future. Where do you want to go to school? What do you want to do for college? And if they don't know, what major do you want? What career do you want? Get them thinking. I treat adults, kids like adults. I mean, yeah, I have fun. I am a child inside. I'm probably 12 years old sometimes, which is fine. But as long as I keep it light, bright, and polite, guess what? I have nothing to hide. And I mean, 99% of my life is quite public anyways. You can Google me, Josh Oakes, you'll see. All right, so smartsocial.com, episode 001 is coming to an end. I've got a couple more things that I want to share with you. You know, we at Smart Social, I travel the country training 30,000 students a year on speeches, but the Parent University is where I come into your home basically digitally, and you can ask questions and you get direct access to my staff and me. And then also we build school websites for them. We do all kinds of really neat stuff. It all starts at smartsocial.com. I want to thank my staff, my team, Elisa, who really helped out with all this different stuff, and then all the other people that really help make sure that we create content that teaches the world how to shine online. All right, guys, I'm going to run. You have a great day. As always, I want you to keep it light, bright, and polite. Go pick up a copy of my book. Go to Amazon, go to smartsocial.com, click on one of the books, go pick it up. I hope you'll do it. Have a great day, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.